Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Prayer this morning, we'll get started. Hallelujah, Father, we just come before you with enthusiasm, excitement about your word today. That we love your word and we thank you for your word today, Father, that it will not return unto you void, but it will go out and accomplish that for which it was purposed. It will prosper where it's being sent. We believe for the Holy Spirit to work, move, and operate in this place today, bringing illumination, revelation, transformation in the people's lives as they as their hearts are open, Father, as their hearts are receptive to hear and be healed, to hear and receive revelation, knowledge, and understanding. I ask that you grant me utterance in the Holy Ghost today. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words, and we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I just want to remind people about the importance of taking advantage of something that you have every single week. Sometimes you get familiar with things that are most important to you, and so you don't realize what that is doing and making in your life a difference. And we don't want to allow familiarity to come in and rob from us. As believers, we need to stay what? Open, teachable, humble. We never have arrived. We don't know everything. Hallelujah. We're always what? Wanting to receive more and learn more. That's a good place to be, because as long as we're open and humble before God, he's going to continue to get the revelation, the knowledge, the understanding to you concerning who you are in Christ, what you possess in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. Amen. He will. So it's up to us to continue to want that from him. Hallelujah. And also, like the people in the Bible, they came to what? To hear and be healed. So they didn't avoid that which was needed. Especially when it comes to faith. When it comes to the God kind of faith, we need to be hearing the word of God on a continual basis. Not just in the crisis. Not just when it gets hard or when the opposition or the pressure begins to close in on you. No. When you are living the life of faith, walking by faith and not by sight, you need to be hearing the word. You need to be reading the word. You need to be studying the word. You need to be speaking the word. All of those principles are vitally important when you have made the stand of faith and decided, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, according to what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Also, we want to welcome all those online with us today. Praise the Lord. Glad that you've joined us. Amen. And like we always say, there is no distance in the spirit. What's happening in here can happen for you right there. Amen. You just got to believe and receive. Amen. It's our believing that what connects with the power of God. Believing is an action word. It's a verb. Faith is a noun. But believing is an action word. Hallelujah. And also I want to encourage people, keep coming. Pastor Debbie, it don't seem like nothing is happening. Keep coming. Don't grow weary and well-doing like it tells us in Galatians chapter 6. Keep coming, keep hearing, keep listening to the word of God. Very very important. And I always encourage you, it's great that we have you online listening, but it's even better if you can be here, present. Why? Just like Paul said when they showed up, when he went around and he was teaching and preaching the word of God, he said, it's profitable for you that I see your face, that I may impart something that might be lacking in your faith. Yeah. Paul knew that. And he told the people, he said, it's vitally important that I see your face, that I may impart something that might be lacking in your faith. Well, he knew that the Holy Spirit, he's all-knowing. He knows where we are in our walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So keep coming. Keep coming. We've had testimonies of people that have come from 6 months to a year, came in here with stage 4 cancer, left out of here cancer-free. Week in, week out, week in, week out. They kept coming. They kept coming. They kept grabbing a hold of that word. They kept applying the word. They left out of here without cancer. Praise the Lord. We've had people come in here with strokes, couldn't move one whole side of their body. Their speech was even slurred and limited. But they kept coming week after week after week. We watched the Word of God transform them. It was just amazing. It's rewarding when you come and you see the Word of God working in people's lives. Yeah. Because for some people, that's all they have. And that should be all that we would ever want, is what God has provided for all of us. Healing, health, and strength. His best is that we walk in health every single day. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean your faith won't go unchallenged. Doesn't mean you won't get opposed. But it does mean this, that God has provided the way out. He's provided our answer ahead of time. And it's up to us to decide to walk in His light of the Word and what He has promised that already belongs to us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have been talking about what faith looks like. How many of you have been getting something from that? What faith looks like. That faith has words and it has actions. We found out that faith has an expression, that it gets expressed through our words and through our actions. And we've been looking at different accounts in the Bible of how people received what Jesus provided for them, their healing and their wholeness. And so we have been looking at a whole lot of different accounts, but going back to this and understanding how important it is that the God kind of faith does have an expression. It's not passive, where we're still waiting for God to come and do something. I know, Pastor Debbie, He's going to do something for me one day. Well, that's hope, and the Bible kind of hope is confident expectation. We need that hope, but we want to move from hope into faith where now I believe I have received what has been provided for me according to the Word of God. And so faith has an expression through our words. Remember, our words with our mouth, what we hook our mouth up with, that we should be agreeing with God. And that means to agree with God, means to say the same thing that God says about us. Not say what we feel or what we might see or what we might be hearing contrary to this word, but we're learning to speak with our mouths what God has said about us, no matter what the circumstance looks like or feels like. We must learn to engage our mouths and line them up to say what God says all the time, not just some of the time. So, you know, that's a training process for all of us that we have to learn to walk in as long as we're here on the earth, that we're training ourselves to speak what God says about us. And for some of us, it might be more than others. It just depends on where you are in your walk with the Lord and how much you have applied yourself to what His Word has said about you. But we have to continue to do these things. I said we have to continue to do these things. The speech center is the dominion center of our lives. It is the means by which we exercise our God-given dominion on this earth over the circumstances, over every sickness, every disease, every pain, every illness that would try to rob you of your health. Our speech center is one way that we release our faith. Faith comes by hearing. That's why it's so important that we're hearing it. But faith also has to be released continually through our words, through our actions. And so the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. God is a faith God. God released his faith in the words that he spoke. He never did anything without speaking it first. He believed in the words that he spoke, and when he spoke them, those words were a force, and it brought to pass exactly what he believed. And those words are still just as powerful today, and they are still performing what he has spoken thousands of years ago into existence. Hallelujah. The sun still rotates. The moon still rotates. There's a sunset, a sunrise. I mean, come on now. Hallelujah. Because of what God said, that word is still in force today. Well, think about that when we get the word of God into our hearts, where we move it from information to revelation, where it drops into our heart and our spirits. It comes back out of our mouth as a force, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, out of the heart flow the forces of life, force of faith, force of love. It flows out of our heart. And that's why it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 that we have to guard our heart. And one of the gateways to guarding our heart is our mouth. We have to train ourselves to speak what God says about us. Because, you know, there's an enemy out there who's arrayed against us, but we have full, complete authority over all the works of the enemy. And he comes to steal our words. He does not like you speaking the word of God. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God for 40 days and 40 nights. But when he was in there being tempted, the only thing he did was say, "It is written." It is written. That's the only thing that he came back to the devil with, to Satan with, and it defeated him every single time. It worked for Jesus. It will work for you if you choose to believe it. The word has got the life and the power of God within itself to fulfill itself. The word of God is all that God is. It can do all that God can do. It is all sufficient, all powerful. And when we put our faith in the word of God, that word will do the same thing for us. Hallelujah. Yeah. Producing the same results. So when anything tries to come against you or oppose you, or you know that it's not of the word of God concerning your life, you need to rise up and begin to speak and say, it has no authority over you. It has no place in your life. Come on now. You have to speak to it. What did Jesus say? Speak to the mountain. Say to the mountain, be removed. Cast into the sea, shall not doubt in their hearts, but shall believe those things which they say if shall come to pass. They shall have whatsoever they saith. He said, speak to it. And then he gave the examples before his disciples, right there before he even said Mark 11:23-22. He said, have the God kind of faith. And first of all, he said, this is what the God kind of faith looks like. He spoke to the fig tree. The fig tree was a hypocrite tree. It was supposed to have figs on it. When he got up to it, it didn't have figs on it. He cursed the fig tree from the roots. It dried up and it began to die. Yeah. So many times when we begin to speak to things that come against our lives, we may not see the physical manifestation on the outside, but the moment we begin to speak to it, we have to realize and know that when we speak to it, that thing has been affected by your faith and what you're speaking concerning God's word over it. When you say it has to remove itself in your life, it has no place in you, you have to see that thing running from you, removing itself from you, can't stay in you. Doesn't matter if it's a hangnail, if it's a fingernail, if it's a toe, right, or arm, a leg, a headache. I remember in my own life, I began with headaches. When I started hearing the faith word, I dealt with headaches. Headaches. It was not a fun thing. But when I heard the faith message, I began to apply my faith in the Word of God concerning headaches. What did you do, Pastor Debbie? I began to speak to the headaches. When headaches come against me, I began to say, no, in Jesus' name, headache, you have no place in my body. You have no place in me. I'm a child of God. I have authority over you. You're trespassing. You don't belong to me. You're not in my benefit package. You're not in my inheritance, so get out in Jesus' name. You have to speak to it. You have to tell it. You have to let it know what you know is true to be so concerning you. And so many times we want to be passive and wait. No, 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 no. Faith has action. Faith has words to speak and to say certain things. Hallelujah. You're not allowing the circumstances to control you. You are controlling the circumstances through your faith, which is one of the forces out of our hearts. Yeah. Flow the issues of life, the forces of life. Faith is one of the forces. Hallelujah. Yeah. That we speak. So we've been looking at different accounts. Different examples in the Bible. We looked at Thomas and we realized that Thomas said what he had to see it and believe. He had to see it and feel it in order to believe it. And Jesus said, Thomas, 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 blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. And what does it tell us in 2 Corinthians 5:7? The New Living Translation, we're to walk by what? Believing and not by seeing. We're to walk by believing. We need to believe before we see and feel it. Because if we truly believe it, then our bodies have got to come in line with it. What we have to remember, the body is not the real you. That you are a spirit being, you possess a soul, you live in this body. So when you're believing it with the heart and you know it in your knower, and you got your speaker hooked up to your knower, and you're speaking it, and you don't let your thinker get in the way of your knower. But you continue to keep your speaker going. Hallelujah. Then the body has to come in line. It has to come in line, especially, like I said, when you have that word in your heart. So it's been deposited, it's been revealed, it's been quickened, it's been made alive to you in here. You have a picture that's been drawn on the canvas of your heart by the Word of God. That word, that word, that word, more word, it begins to paint a picture. Yeah. You see it on the inside first. Yeah. And when you see it here, you can have it out here. I said, when you see it in here, you can have it out here. Eventually, this body has got to line up, but we can't allow our bodies to dictate to us or tell us when we have it or when we don't have it. We just know that the body has got to line up with it. We just know that we got it according to the Word of God. Faith says, it's mine now. I have it now. He that believes now possesses. He that believes now possesses. I believe I have received my healing. It's mine now. So Thomas, Jesus corrected Thomas. And then we looked at Abraham. Abraham was the opposite of Thomas. Thank God. Abraham was an example for us. Not through the bloodline, but through the faith line. When we saw his example, how he chose to believe the promise of God. When God says, Abraham and Sarah, I will make you the father of many nations. Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations. Abraham decided to grab a hold of the promise of God and believe the promise over and above what his body was telling him or what his wife's body was telling him. They were beyond the age of about a childbearing. In the natural, it was impossible. Sarah could not have children. So all these things in the natural were real. But yet he chose to believe. God said, I will make you the father of many nations. So we see that through Abraham's believing, it says that he began to do exactly what God did. Call those things that be not as though they were. Call those things. Call those things. Something has got to be hearing you when you begin to call it. Jesus didn't tell us to try to figure it out. He said, call it out. Begin to call those things that be not as though they were. I call my body healed. I call myself healed in Jesus' name. I call myself at peace in Jesus' name. In this day and time, when the world that we live in, there's an enemy arrayed against us. He's trying to steal your peace, trying to steal your joy, trying to steal your health, trying to steal your finances, trying to steal your family. Come on now. But he's defeated. And we got to keep him in his place, which is what? Under our feet. Hallelujah. Under our feet. That's where he stays. Amen. Under our feet. Because yeah. Jesus said, you shall tread upon. You shall tread upon. You shall tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing. Luke 10:19 shall by any means hurt you. So Abraham said he wasn't wavering in his faith. He said it tells us in Romans chapter 4 that he was fully persuaded, giving glory to God, that he considered not his body nor his wife's body. Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is where many times we want to consider our bodies. When we're walking by faith and not by sight, we don't want to look at our bodies. I remember one time when I was in the shipyard, strep throat was going around, and bless God, it tried to jump on me. And I remember going into the bathroom because I was feeling so physically not good. And so I went into the bathroom, and the first thing I wanted to do was look in the mirror and look down my throat. And when I did, I could see the pus pockets on my tonsils. And I was like, that's the worst thing you could do is begin to look at your body. And because I'm telling you, your body will side right in and begin to tell you that you're not healed. Yeah. And so I remember at that point in time, I was like, okay, Lord, here I am in the shipyard. I'm quite a ways from home. I can't just call my husband and say, hey, come over here in 30 minutes to pick me up. It don't work like that. So I was determined that I was going to have to stand my ground. Even after I had done what I shouldn't have done, was going into the bathroom and look in the mirror. Just telling you the truth. Because this is how your mind and your body play against you. But when your mind is renewed, it begins to side in with your heart and you begin to speak. So I began to speak. So every moment when I could get a break, I left my office, went into the bathroom, and I began to go back and forth in the bathroom. By your stripes, I am healed. I rebuke this strep throat. It's not, I don't accept it. I'm not going to allow this. I don't permit this in my body. Throat, I call you healed. In Jesus' name, I call you healed. Had my hands on it. Throat, I call you healed. I rebuke this strep throat. I don't accept it in Jesus' name. You're trespassing. I command you to get out of my body. Call the thing, whatever it is, speak it out. Strep throat, I speak to you. I call you out of my body. Are y'all getting that? Yeah. Kept doing it every break I could get. Every time I could get a break, I'd go back in the bathroom, put my hands on my throat, said, thank you, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed, by your stripes I'm healed. What happened, Pastor David? Well, I can tell you I made it through by faith because it wasn't by feelings, I can tell you that. No, I was just a young believer in the Word of God, grabbing a hold of the things of God, especially when it come to walking by faith. And so it was all new to me, but I was determined to do the Word of God. What happened? Well, I went home. I went to the doctor. That's what happened. You went to the doctor? Yeah, I sure did. Went home. By the time I got home, my husband looked at me. He said, we're going to the doctor. So we went to the doctor anyway. What I'm saying is continue to stand against it. Wonder if I had just said, well, you know what? I didn't see nothing happen. I tried to work the word of God. I thought I was working the word. I thought I was doing it. I thought everything was doing good. And I didn't really see nothing happen. I didn't let those things get to me, nor did I let it stop me nor bother me. You see where you can't stop? If I had stopped them and said, you know what, this faith stuff don't work. And then the next time, flying on the airplane, here I am on the airplane, and then I have the test about flying on the airplane with your ears adjusting to the altitude changes. What were you going to do with that one? I was going to do the same things I did with the other one, continue to work the word of God, expect the word of God to work in my life. Yeah. Took me 3 times of flying before I overcame that one, before it actually settled down in me that I was determined it was not going to dominate my life when it come to flying, where my ears would control and produce fear, pain, agony from one takeoff to where I landed. It's horrible to fly when you're in pain and you can't think straight and your ears are just, it's horrible. So you stand against the fear. You stand against the pain. You continue to speak the word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I was positioned by the window every time. Thank God for the window.
Thanks.
So I could continue to speak what the word said over my ears.
Yeah.
And this is what I got. I said, when I fly, I will fly pain-free. Pain-free. My ears will adjust to the altitude changes. Going up, coming down, ascending and descending. My ears will adjust to the altitude changes.
Yeah.
And it got down on the inside of me. And my body began to align up with what I believe with my heart. What I'm telling you is you can't give in. You can't quit because you don't feel it, see it the way you think you ought to. Just stay at it. Stay at it, stay at it, stay at it. I remember one time Pastor Chris and I were on vacation. We walked down the beach holding hands together, walked down the beach, bless God, and my foot goes right behind his heel on his foot, and the little toe gets broken, gets leaning out here sideways like that. My little toe on this foot hit the back of his heel, and I was like, oh, I know it. Okay. So what did you do, Pastor Terry? I jumped down on the beach, went down to the ground, grabbed my toe, put it back in place, and kept walking down the beach. I declared my toe was healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You pulled it back in place. Yeah, I put it back in place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Walked it out by faith. Well, that was just crazy. You should have gone to the doctor. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It healed fine. Never had no more problems. I believe God. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. So we talked about Abraham. So he stayed fully persuaded. He continued to give glory to God. We looked at the woman with the issue of blood. What about the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years? It was not something that was just a short thing. No. 12 years. She lost everything. She was poor. She was broke. She was isolated from society because of her illness. But she heard. Here's one of the laws of God when it comes to faith. She heard. She heard of Jesus, that he was going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. She heard. It produced faith in her. So much so that it began to get in her mouth, and she began to say some things, and then it got into her actions. She began to do something to move out of. See, faith, we're talking about faith has an expression. What does faith look like? It has an expression through our words, through our actions. So she got out. She crawled until she touched the hem of his garment. Her words, she kept saying, if I could just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. She set the time of her healing, not Jesus. She said it with her own faith, because Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. Her faith, her words, her actions. Her words and her actions. No matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like. Her words and her actions. Then we looked at Paul and the 275 men on the ship with him. Here they are moving to where Paul said, the man told him, you shall appear before Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. So they put him on the ship, 275 prisoners with him. They get on the ship. They start heading to a certain place. And what happens? A big storm comes. But Paul, what? He gets a word from God in the middle of the storm. Paul said, what? I believe. He told the men, he said, cheer up. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. That's what Paul said. And he's cheering the men on. He's saying, look, we need, cheer up. We got a word from God. He said, not one life will be lost here. Look, joy is the bridge between believing and receiving. He's saying, get joyful, get happy. We're going to be fine. We're going to all make it. Jesus said, by my stripes you were healed. Be joyful, get happy. Be excited that I've already provided healing for you. Joy, with joy you receive the end of your faith, it tells us in Peter. With joy we receive the end of our faith. Joy is the bridge between believing and receiving. And we saw that Paul and every one of those men, they made it through that storm. The ship fell apart, but every one of them made it to shore without one being lost or killed. Hallelujah. That's Paul on the ship. Then we looked at the four lepers in Kings chapter 7. The four lepers, instead of staying right there where they were and giving up and saying, well, we're just going to die. No, the four lepers get up and begin to do something. They were not having a pity party. You cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. These four lepers got up in the midst of everything, the famine. And they went in. And when they did, when they began to, God use those four lepers to what? Cause the enemy's camp to hear a great big army coming. So they scattered. They left and left the spoiled food, everything right there. Enough to feed all of the Samaritans. Yeah. 24-hour turnaround. Four lepers. Because they began to get up and do something. They got up and they began to do something. They got up, they began to do something. They were not waiting for something to come to them. Right. Or they were not even passive. No, they began to act and move. Oh my goodness. We're talking about what does faith look like. What does faith look like? Faith has an expression. Faith has an expression through our words and through our actions. Every one of these people, we're seeing either positive, good actions and words producing right results. Got them through every single time. Every one of them. What about the walls of Jericho? We looked at that one. Joshua and the Israelites. Here was another impossible situation. Yeah. But God had also given Joshua certain specific instructions of what to do. march around the walls, march around the city, march around the city, march around the city. On the seventh day, march around it seven times. And on the seventh time, what? Shout, release your faith through your shout. What were they doing? They were using their words then, expressing their faith. And what God had said, I've given you this city. It's been given into your hands, but you have to go in and possess it. Healing has been provided for you, but you have to go in and you have to receive it and take it as yours. Don't let the devil steal what belongs to you. Healing belongs to you, God said. So when we see a trespasser trying to get in and steal something from us that belongs to us, are you going to let the thief come in?
No.
Absolutely not. Keep the thief out. Keep him out. You have every right and power and authority to keep him out. Hallelujah. So the walls of Jericho, they said something. They shouted. They did something. They marched. Actions, words. What does faith look like? We're talking about the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Not natural human faith. We're talking about the God kind of faith. Where we walk by faith, walk by believing and not by seeing. Walk by believing and not by seeing. What does it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13? We having the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. That was recorded from the book of Psalms from David. When David was facing the giant. When David was facing the giant, did David have something to say? Absolutely. Did the enemy have something to say? Yeah. He tried to threaten him, tried to get him in fear. But David had spent time with his God. He knew God. God had gotten him through a whole bunch of other impossible situations with the lion, with the bear. David began to rehearse these things. He said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear would deliver me this day, deliver Israel. And he sure did. And he knew exactly what to do. And he ran at the giant, but he didn't run at his giant with his what? His mouth shut. Here we go again, using our mouth. He ran at his giant with his mouth open. He began to say, this day I will cut off your head. This day you'll be given into my hands. This day. I mean, he was declaring when and how. David. Yeah. From the very get-go. And yeah, the enemy tried to come back and say some things. You're just a little fella. You don't know nothing about fighting a war. You're not a warrior. You're just a little teeny thing. You're a young boy. Did that threaten David? No. Why? Because he had spent time with God. He knew who he was. He knew who his God was. Hallelujah. How much more do you and I? Know our Father. Know what He's already provided. Know what He's already done. Know what He's already declared. That devil, the liar. That devil that's defeated. I'm treading on him in Jesus' name. Come on now. We can't be afraid of what we look like. We got to be more concerned with what does God think? What does God want? What has God said? Has not God said, I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent? Have I not said it? Will I not do it? Have I not spoken it? Shall I not make it good? Come on now. Numbers 23:19. That's what God said. He said, I will what? I will hearken to the words that I hear out of your mouth and my ears. God said that. And then he tells us what? Hosea 14:2, take with you my words and Speak them back to me. Return them back to me. God wants to hear His words in our mouth because we believe it with our heart. But we got to be speaking something, and our actions should follow and correspond with what we're speaking. So David ran at his giant, but he didn't run at the giant with the mouth shut. He ran at his giant with his mouth open, declaring the outcome. I said he was running at his giant, declaring the outcome. This day, I will cut your head off. This day, healing is mine. I accept my healing today. I ain't leaving here today without what belongs to me. Devil, take your hands off. How dare you, in Jesus' name. Let's look at, let's turn in our Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at another situation here today. What does faith look like? Faith has expressions through our words, through our actions. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, we're talking about Jesus here with his disciples. And in verse 22, it says, he directed the disciples to get into a boat and go before him to the other side. Jesus spoke this now. Get into a boat, go to the other side. While he sent the crowds away. Verse 23, and after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Jesus. And when it was evening, he was still there alone. So he spent much of the afternoon in prayer with his heavenly Father. Verse 24, but the boat where the disciples were, because Jesus told them to get in the boat and go over to the other side, they're in the boat. It says, but the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile distant from the land. But they were many furlongs from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. So they had waves and they had wind. Something you could feel, which the waves represent what? The waves represent what we see. The winds represent what they could feel. So don't forget that part right there. It says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch between 3 and 6 a.m., of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the water or walking on the sea. That was a working of a miracle right there. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the water or walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they screamed out with fright. Think about that. They see their master, their teacher, the one they've been walking with, learning from, watching, observing his life, all his actions, all his moves, everything. And now they see him coming to them. They're in a boat dealing with a great big storm, big waves, a lot of wind. And now they see him coming to them all walking on the sea. They were terrified and they said, it's a ghost. And they screamed out with fright. But verse 27, but instantly he spoke to them. Notice that. Jesus spoke to them instantly, right in the midst of their fright and what they were feeling, seeing, and dealing with at that very moment. Yeah. Instantly, he spoke to them saying, take courage. Woo! I am. Stop being afraid. That's the words of Jesus. And Peter answered him, verse 28, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Think about that. Peter says, Lord, if that's you, just command me to come to you. Verse 29, Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water. See, Peter walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. He got out of the boat. There was 11 more in the boat. Peter is the one that decides to act on one word from Jesus. When Jesus said, come, Peter acts on that word. He gets out of the boat, walked on the water, and he was coming towards Jesus. Verse 30, but when? We don't want billy goat feet. Keep the butts out. No but. But when he perceived or saw and felt the strong wind. So he's seeing the waves. He's feeling the wind. He was frightened. And as he began to sink, what happens? He opens his mouth and he cries out, Lord, save me from death. Woo! That all of a sudden is not faith talking. That's something else talking. That's his fear talking. Amen. Notice this now. He begins to sink. Fear begins to come against him. His five senses begin to set in. He's feeling, he's seeing. He's feeling, he's seeing. And all of a sudden he opens his mouth. He's saying, Lord, save me from this death. Verse 31, instantly Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, held him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Think about that for 1 minute. Jesus grabs him by the hand and he says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? In other words, you stepped out on my word. You began to act on my word. You walked on the water. You were doing exactly what your heart was acting on when I said come. But then you allow your five senses to cut in and begin to rob you of what you were believing. He says, why did you doubt? You know, doubt and unbelief are two twins that like to hang together and try to come along and rob us when we're in faith. They try to rob us of our faith. And when they got it, verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat knelt and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And when they had crossed over to the other side, they went ashore at Gennesaret. Doubt and unbelief. We're to starve our doubts, yeah, but feed our faith. Yeah. Do you know that you can believe God, have faith in your heart and doubt in your head at the same time and still win over the enemy? You just cannot allow that doubt to override your faith. Right. Peter got out of the boat. He was walking on the water. Just like Jesus. What did Jesus tell the father with his son who was demon-possessed? And the father was like, I took my son to your disciples to have them cast the devil out of him. He has something like what we would call today epilepsy. And it would take him and try to burn him in fire. It would take him and try to drown him in waters, and the father dealt with this continually because Jesus asked him, he said, how long has he been like this? He said, since a little boy. So the father had seen this so many times. He had all these things was going through his mind when Jesus comes along and the disciples couldn't cast the devil out. This father's thinking about, all, well, he's been trying to be burned up all these many times. He's been trying to be drowned all these many times. I pulled him out of this one. I pulled him out of that one. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and he starts talking to him. And he says, Jesus says, it's not about what I can do. It's about what you can believe. And And the man goes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What was he telling him? What was he telling Jesus? He said, I believe you with my heart, but my head is giving me a fit. I got all these negative thoughts and pictures coming at me. I saw my son since a little boy. This thing has tried to kill him. It's tried to destroy him. It's tried to drown him. It's tried to burn him. It's starving him to death. He's weakening and starving. I'm watching him being depleted right before my eyes. Help my unbelief. What, his five senses. Jesus said this kind only comes out by what? Prayer and fasting. You know, there are three kinds of unbelief. Three kinds of unbelief that we have to deal with. Jesus said there's an unbelief that comes through ignorance, a lack of knowledge, not knowing what God says, not knowing what the Word says. The devil thrives off of lack of knowledge for you and me. When we don't know what the Bible says, the devil takes advantage of it. This is why it's so vitally important that we get into the Word and find out who we are, what we have, what we can do in Christ. So you have that lack of knowledge, which unbelief that comes from a lack of knowledge, just because you don't know what the Bible has said about you and what's been promised you, what belongs to you, who you are right now. Then there's an unbelief that comes through wrong teaching. There's an unbelief that comes through wrong teaching. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie? You might have come from a church that might have taught you that healing's been done away with. They don't heal no, Jesus don't heal no more. Maybe you were taught that he just heals certain ones. But you got to settle it in your heart. Jesus has come to heal all. Just like salvation was provided for all, healing was provided for all. He went about healing all. You got to see yourself in that all. So there's a lack of knowledge. And the Bible says, what does it tell us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Or that word perish there means die prematurely. When God said, I promised you a long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Psalms 91:16. With a long life, I will show you my salvation. He's promised us a long life. So is the number of your days, so shall your strength be. So wrong teaching can produce unbelief. What's the cure for both of them? Jesus went about teaching and preaching in the villages. When he dealt with the unbelief in the different areas, not every village was full of unbelief and doubt. But it tells us he could do no mighty works there, only a few small works because of the people's unbelief. He went about, left there teaching and preaching. That was the cure. But then you have this third unbelief that comes. It's a natural unbelief that or doubt that comes through our five senses. What we can see, feel, taste, hear, and smell. When that doubt, that unbelief that comes in through the five senses, Jesus said this kind of doubt can only get out through prayer and fasting. Spending much time in prayer and fasting. Why? Because fasting puts certain restrictions on your physical body and brings the body into a place where it has to submit to your heart and not your heart submitting to your body. Yeah. You are depriving it of certain things at a certain time. And when your body finds out that you're not going to give it what he wants at a certain time, then it gets deprived. And when you're in that fasting process, it breaks it off of you. Is it easy, Pastor Debbie? No. The flesh will fight you tooth and toenail. Your body will try to tell you, you're going to die. If you don't give me food right now, you're going to be so weak, you're going to pass it. It will tell you all kinds of things. But you got to know, because Jesus, he didn't give us any specific things when it came to fasting in the Bible in the New Testament. He said, according as you're led by the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God. And when you're dealing with this kind of unbelief, that you know your five senses are screaming at you and it's trying to control you, set yourself apart. Start with a small fast. And begin to tell your body what it's going to do, what it's not going to do, what it's going to get, what it's not going to get. Maybe you just do water for a day or so. Just those small things help you break your body from being in control. That's why Jesus said, he wasn't talking about this demon doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. No, he was talking about the doubt and unbelief. This doubt and unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting. I've talked to so many ministers, and they just said, you know what? It's just best. You follow the Holy Spirit. He said, and also I've heard our own pastor say, live a fasted lifestyle. Never overindulge and allow things to control you where you go to the extreme with anything. And everything be in moderation. What does the Bible tell us? And everything we do, do it in moderation. Live a fasted lifestyle. But you just continue to, there's a balance. Never go off into the extreme. Reel your flesh back in. Reel it back in. Maybe you've been used to eating a lot of ice cream. Just reel it back in. Tell it, well, right now you're not going to get no ice cream. Just small examples here. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just saying you have to follow the Spirit of God. Not to your detriment, but for helping you to break the things off of us that don't need to be controlling our lives. And when Jesus was talking about this kind of unbelief, he says, prayer and fasting. In prayer, what are you doing? You're giving yourself unto God. You're giving yourself unto the Father. You're spending time with him. You're listening. You're tuning in. You're praying from your heart. Things break off. Things fall off. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, we thank you today for your word. That it doesn't return to you void, but it does go out and accomplish that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent. Thank you for helping every person understand and get this concerning your word and who they are, what they have, what they can do in Christ. Thank you for quickening it in their hearts and spirits. Because you are the Father of spirits, our Father. We commune with you through our hearts, our spirit. And so, Lord, we're so thankful that we're not just body and soul, but we are created in your image and likeness so that we can commune with you and fellowship with you with all our heart. Thank you today for your healing word. wherever your word is being taught. Jesus, you're right there, watching over that word to perform it in the heart of each person. So we thank you today. For health, long life, strength in every area of our being. Minds, bodies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You brought righteousness for our spirit, peace for our minds, and healing for our physical body. We believe that. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.